The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Festival, good afternoon. We're in session till one today. Summer term starts next Monday. Back to school next Monday. Ramsey Bakery closes a week this Saturday, the 30th of April. No more Ramsey Bakery. It's another bank holiday a week next Monday, and TT starts, is it 5 weeks? On Saturday, the festival starts. First practice 5 weeks on Sunday. Are we sitting on a gold mine, by the way? Not literally, not the literal gold mine, but in energy terms. Is this the answer to the crisis? You know, the energy crisis we keep being told about? The energy crisis on the Isle of Man. And I don't mean Kroger, I don't mean the gas off Macall.
It would do everything, and it's, how can I put it, it doesn't die on you. At any point, basically, the heat of availability is pretty much continuous and unlimited.
Are we sitting on a gold mine of heat on the Isle of Man? And there have been a further 5 COVID-19 related deaths confirmed on the island over the past week. The death toll since the start of the pandemic, as shown in the latest weekly public health report, has risen to 98. You can see the report itself if you want to go through it yourself. Go to manxradio.com on the news page, on the news story. There's a link through to it. But Sian's here with some more detail.
The data published by Public Health Isle of Man this morning shows further deaths have been recorded from earlier this month. The weekly figures show all deaths where COVID-19 is mentioned on the death certificate, rather than just those where COVID is the primary cause of death. For the first time, the surveillance report also shows a breakdown of places of death, with more than half of COVID deaths on the island since the start of the pandemic having occurred in hospital. 37 have been at residential homes, 3 at hospice, and 9 in domestic properties. 2/3 of those who've died are more than 80 years old, while there have been no COVID-related fatalities among the under-40s. Meanwhile, the infection rate on the Isle of Man has fallen over the last week, with an average of 89 new cases reported daily, down from 124 the week before. The report says this is in line with falling levels reported from wastewater testing. However, the island currently has the 3rd highest infection rate of any local authority in the British Isles. When the report was compiled, 17 people were in hospital with COVID, 11 of whom are fully vaccinated with a booster, while 3 have received no COVID jab at all. All those in hospital were admitted with the infection. Just over half are in hospital because of the illness, while the remaining group were admitted for other reasons and found to have COVID when they were tested upon admission.
If you want all the details I mentioned, just go to the news page on maxradio.com and you can see the full weekly report. The public health data has been released this morning and shows those further deaths having been recorded from earlier in the month. And by the way, we've mended our WhatsApp system. It's working now. So if you're in Peel and want to send us a photo of the ship in Peel, then by all means, 166177, just stick us in your contacts. Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just to continue on from my morning rant. Yesterday, I was saying about the gardens and the walls, etc., and how they're delaying everything. But afterwards, I thought, has this got something to do with the fact that the fair was suddenly told you can't come? That the walls are down and they're not going to do anything with them. We got the health and safety. They'd be down, have a look at it. And they'd design all sorts of things in their heads that they can't do, you can do, you shouldn't do. And also, if TT Week is coming up, if it's successful as it's supposed to be, parking now is on the promenade is a premium. Have they got it into their heads that we'll not have the fare down there because we'll allocate that for parking because of the nice new shiny promenade slabs, etc.?
Well, there's certainly a lot less parking available there. And as you say, the Sunken Gardens is right next to where the fun fair will be. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to remember, did they put additional barriers on top? Did they put metal barriers on top of the walls before when the fun fair was here? I can't remember.
No, I have to admit I haven't been down to it for years. But they had the odd idiot down there, which is understandable. But it was, and they stayed here for a fortnight, and they gave the people of the island a great deal of pleasure riding on the various equipment, etc. But for the government, and probably the town hall, tweaking their ideas and saying, well, we can't have it because it means we're going to have to do something with all the promenade area. And if the fair comes here, then we're going to lose a lot of temporary parking spaces. So it's a conspiracy theory, but there's no smoke without fire.
Well, it may be joined up, but as you say, I mean, certainly there's, I mean, the fun fair was never my idea of a great night out. It's certainly for people who are younger and people who enjoy the, you know, the pretty lights and having their stomachs flung around everywhere, well, which is fine. I mean, that's, you know, different courses and everything. But you just wonder whether that came into the thinking, the fact that the sunken gardens are more open than normal.
Yes, and quite an area from what we used to term over the Villiers End was number one, and it went through to number six. It was the rendezvous or the Sefton End. That was the numbers of the gardens.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, there are six gardens, are there?
Uh-huh. And another interesting point, where if you go up into Summer Hill, and this is something you mentioned yesterday, was the winter work scheme. Summer Hill was built on the winter work scheme in the 1950s. But there used to be a reservoir there. And if you're walking up through, you'll see it's a flat area. I don't know if the railings are still there or not now, but that's where water was contained there, and that used to come all the way down the promenade, and that's what used to feed the gardens. The pipework came right through the footpaths of the gardens all the way, and there was little slabs there we used to lift up, and the taps were in the ground, and that was the feed of the water. But they were numbered 1 to 6, right through from the Villiers End. And as I quoted yesterday, the garden themselves, where they used to have the three legs of man at the Villiers End, there were 6,000 plants in there, in that one bed, making up, it was alfalfa and all that, but it was making up the three legs of man. But that aside, as I said to my wife last night, if they don't fix the gardens, if they don't fix the playground, which used to be a little boating pool, you'll still see the pattern of it. And the idea is there somewhere, would they just fill it in and make it into a car park?
Well, I mean, the gardens, I think, bring immense pleasure to people. And you only have to go down during the summer. The number of people who take their lunches, who just wander around the
exactly.
gardens. And a well-laid garden, a well-tended garden, is a joy to the eye. But it helps the spirit. It makes people feel good.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. They're pushing mental health now. Mental health this, mental health that. If you sneeze, you're suffering from mental health. I know you shouldn't make fun of it, but people are getting snowflake and they're getting too soft. But you go down into any of those gardens down there in the summer, even in the winter, on a nice, reasonable day in the winter, you go down there and you can sit and in a calm and tranquil environment. And in the summer particularly, a beautiful environment. And they seem to be hell-bent on ruining everything that has anything like that. They're just going for wilding now, which is another name for neglect. But the promenade gardens, those should be rebuilt now at speed. And as I asked yesterday, have they disposed of the stone? Because that stone would have been locally quarried. And it's been used and reused every time those walls have been knocked down. So you get a continuity of colour all the way along. And has it been disposed of? Has it been buried or has it been stored somewhere, which it should be? Because you drive by building stone now, built, and I'm saying quarry stone, not bricks, etc. You pay a small fortune for it. And the people sitting in their offices don't realise just what the cost of that particular... They'll look at it and say, oh, it's going to cost this much money. We can't do that. Let's just put a stone wall up. It's not the same.
Okay, all right. We appreciate that, Howard. Thanks for calling.
Take Take care. Bye now.
All right, 16 minutes past 12 on Manx Radio. Well, the door remains open if somebody from Douglas Council wants just to tell us what the... well, the reason they said was the fact the stone, the sunken garden walls, it was the subject to an insurance claim, have to wait until it's approved, then they're going to do it, and everything's going to be tied in with the seawall protection and fortification. So that's all tied in there. The top and bottom of it, it looks a mess. And obviously the promenade is in the business of looking good. But that's where we are at the moment. We still don't know, by the way, and I think it's Douglas Council who are responsible for it, whether the groins are ever going to come back. The wooden groins that help with retaining the beach and if you like, the contours of the beach and the sand, whether the groins, now, Douglas Council's, I think they're in storage somewhere, or maybe the original ones have been thrown away, or maybe they built some new ones. But we'll hopefully find out soon from Douglas Council if they could tell us about the groins and the sunken gardens and the fence that's falling to pieces as well. That'd be terrific. And thanks for Tammy, who just said, can I send you a photo of the boat via email? You can if you can see it. Is it there? Do we know it's there? I write regarding the COVID situation. There's a text in from 927. We've now sadly had 28 deaths related to COVID this year, with 11 in 2 weeks. Can we call for mitigation, says this correspondent. I think we should bring back masks on public transport, masks indoors, and bring back social distancing, or at the very least some reassurance from the Chief Minister that lives mean more than economic recovery. The strategy, in my opinion, needs a rethink. I'm not calling for a lockdown, but there needs to be some more consideration to the vulnerable in our society. A note in also said, this is from 989, just saying, what do people think about the number of continuing COVID-related deaths? Seems to me that the news is being very dismissive, and we're giving very little information. Each of these deaths has left a heartbroken family. How can they just keep letting it run? Would it be so difficult for people to be required to wear masks on retail premises, on buses, to protect the older and the vulnerable population? More messages in, lots of texts and emails regarding this. And lots of comments that I can't mention about the promenade and the council, but hopefully we'll get the council in soon just to chat about things in general. Not with any particular agenda, but it'd be nice to talk to Douglas Council. Why are DOI traffic wardens patrolling the Shoprite car park in Douglas? It's a private car park. Is that right? This is the one in Little Switzerland. Is that so? What a mess with the Solby Claddock's campsite. The toilet block has been condemned, says Marie. There's a bit of a mess within government. Is that true about the toilet block at Solby Claddock's? What's the situation? That will be very much an inconvenience, wouldn't it? The daily stats aren't a true reflection of what's happening on the Isle of Man, says Nicola. Everyone I speak to says they're not reporting cases, as there's no point. The 84 daily cases is only a figure of those who are wanting time off work or perhaps to claim benefits, says Nicola. I know loads that haven't registered their positive result, so the government are blinded by the truth of real cases currently circulating on the Isle of Man. May I say my heartfelt condolences to the families and friends of the recent deaths on the Isle of Man. John's with us now. Hi, John.
In the Bell Drive.
Hi, John. Sorry, go ahead from the top. We just lost you for a moment there.
Sorry. I've just been down to Laxey, and at the airpin in Bell Drive, there is about 6 rolls of turf that's come off the back of a landscaper's wagon. So if you're short of 6 rolls of turf, that's where it is.
Oh, and if anybody locally wants a free lawn, no, don't.
Yeah, that's where it is.
And how long ago was that, John?
I've just come back about 10 minutes ago.
Okay, so 6 rolls of turf, the hairpin at Baldrine.
Yeah.
All right, we appreciate that. Thanks for calling us today.
Okay, no problem, thank you.
All right, I can't see the bikers missing the fun fair, says this correspondent, and expect the TT or rally simulators are more their cup of tea. Perhaps the fair could come later in the summer, for children to enjoy, says Crystal. Does anybody know, this is Chris, does anybody know why a band of grass, or a weed patch as it is now, has been put in behind the angled car parking on Loch Promenade? Surely it would have been far better to move the car parking spaces back, leaving more room for manoeuvre when parking and more space for the passing traffic. Instead, we have an area which will need to be mown at great expense. Chris, that's where the tram's going to go. The single track for the horse trams is scheduled, is planned. It's all there. We're assured there are plans, and perhaps it will happen. The trams will go from the War Memorial, from where it is at the moment, with those points. Is there anything happening with the points, by the way, at Castle Mona Avenue? Anyway, it's going to go from the points there, single track, and the tram will, in fact, go behind where the cars are parked. Don't ask. That's the plan. But if the money is allocated, when it's allocated, when the horse trams arrive, if the horse trams arrive, if they ever arrive, that's where they're going to be. David now. Hi, David.
You're tempting me all the time there. I don't think that was on the plan that was actually approved by government. So if any of those people out there want to have a quick look at their planning applications and skeet on a few things, it might be worth researching that. And don't forget, we've still got where we... Timmel provided money for that, and it was spent elsewhere. But we're waiting for a select committee, aren't we, to look at that, plus other things. But can I just say regarding, I think your caller regarding the wall down on the Sunken Gardens there, and I'm not interfering with the council, I'm just my personal view as a granddad that has children want to play in playgrounds all the time, is it should be done. Why can't they just do it? If it's an insurance claim, surely they would have had an indication now of the cost. They would have had an assessor in to say it's going to cost $20,000 or whatever.
And the point you make is very valid. Grandparents, uncles, aunties and parents, first of all, you get rid of the kids for 20 minutes. They wear themselves out. So it's as much for their parents and grandparents as for the kids.
Yeah, and I'll give you a scenario, and I'll just throw this to you. At the cemetery where the scoreboards were and the timekeepers fought, the tree fell down about 3-4 weeks ago there. So the boys came up, cut the tree, and the wall was damaged and whatever. And today, I think it's nearly almost finished. So I just wonder what the policy is regarding which area is they've done that one. Did they absorb the cost themselves, or did the insurance company say it was an act of God or whatever? It's on your own plate.
Interesting.
Which they're probably going to say regarding the wall.
I'm trying to think then, David. Is in terms of children's play parks, the nearest one's going to be Onken, isn't it? Onken Park.
Yeah, well, we'll plug Onken. Onken's not bad, and it's in good condition at the minute, and it's lovely with the weather out there.
But I mean, for children, all joking aside, play areas and equipment to play on is really important for children.
It is, because you look at the amount of children now who have got iPads and never mind phones, but they're sitting in the houses because they're getting an internet connection where they should be out playing. There should be lots of activities. There's greens all... It's what I used to say when I was a commissioner previously and a long time ago. You can't really quantify the amenity value what a local authority does for its area. And if it's not doing it, the community should be getting onto them.
And, I mean, every time you walk past a playground with kids in it, there's that, invaluable... You can't put a price on the laughter from children when they play. And the fact that you can't do that on Douglas Prom is a bit weird, to say the least.
It's terrible. If you had an independent person coming in all the time, maybe we should do that, and maybe we should ask the last person to come and live in the Isle of Man to walk certain places and give us their opinion, their personal opinion on certain areas, and then we can address it. I mean, that's the thing. Draw it to somebody's attention. The other thing, too, you've had a little thing. There was a massive thing last night on Facebook regarding a traffic warden. It was in Onken, I believe, in the ShopRite car park in Onken. But as far as I know, I'm led to believe, too, that traffic wardens are authorised to do the highway.
And Village, I mean, Village pilot. Walk is owned by ShopRite, isn't it?
It is, and the one down at the other one by the old prison there.
Oh, Little Switzerland, yeah.
That's private, because if anybody parks too long, you get these massive big stickers stuck on and nobody can get them off. So I just wonder what's happened there, or is the DOI doing something different? The only car parks I know, because I remember one of them, which is a community car park, which is enforceable by the DOI, was the one up near, I think it's the Cat with No Tail or something like that, because it's part of an opened area and was adopted. That's the thing. Areas have to be adopted. Now, I'm going to throw one out as well, because I'm getting fed up. People coming on to me and saying, we need to do something about it. And I think we need to do the amount of commercial vehicles who are parking in a residential area, which is a clear offence in law. And I would ask out there, what are the community officers doing in areas around the Isle of Man to prevent that?
When you say commercial vehicles, big vans, big lorries, what is it?
They don't have to be big. They have to be either 6 metres long or 2 metres high. It's clearly an offence under the Act, which is there. There is a little hiccup regarding camper vans, and I'm not having to go at the camper van people, but I think we need to look at that as well, because there are some inconsiderate parking of larger vehicles, which includes caravans, and maybe it's the government's fault or local authority's fault for not providing them an area where we could charge them to be there.
Okay, all right, thanks for calling.
See ya.
Cheers now. And Chris joins us on Man in Line. Hi, Chris.
Oh, Andy. Just recently, sadly, we've had 14 deaths in the last 3 weeks with COVID. And what I find really strange and quite disturbing, really, you never hear of anybody going into ICU, yet we're having all these deaths. I really think, you know, there's something going wrong there. You know, people need to be cared for and looked after. And yet the government claim that we're going into an endemic, or gone into an endemic. I just think it's just so wrong. And another thing that the government are now looking in sewerage, testing sewerage, for COVID figures. So when are they going to come and check my septic tank and other people's septic tanks? You know, there's a lot of people on septic tanks and not mains drainage. So how they're getting these figures, I just can't understand. You know, and just a short while ago, we had 29 people in hospital. That's the highest figure since COVID has started, and yet they say we're in an endemic. That can't be right, Andy, can it?
Well, they've always said from the beginning it's based on vaccinations now. If you can get the mass of the population vaccinated, and they've always pinned their hopes on vaccination, and we've not yet heard whether there's going to be a fourth dose available later on this year. It is in other places. That they've always been honest about that and said that's the way we're going. But as you say, we now have figures for deaths and hospitalizations that would have raised everybody's eyebrows a year ago. But maybe that's the reason that we didn't have that amount of vaccination a year ago.
The only thing I'll say, and thank you for bringing that up, is that I've not been vaccinated. I have no intentions of. I don't want to be part of a government trial. And what I will say is the vast majority of the people that are in hospital have been fully vaccinated, and yet it's the vast majority, in the region of 90% and higher sometimes. So clearly the vaccination either isn't working, or possibly, and I think it's this way, I think the people that are vaccinated think they're okay, they can do what they like and just go out and about doing their business, and not being as careful as perhaps the person that's not been vaccinated. You know, it's such a high figure in the hospital that's been vaccinated. You know, I think we all need to be very careful. You know, it's still out there, it's still dangerous, and sadly people are still dying at an alarming rate at the moment.
Well, and also, viruses mutate. So there may be something else lurking around the corner. I think in reality, everybody's got their fingers crossed.
Yeah, but, you know, please be careful. You know, it's there. It's your life. Be careful with it.
Okay.
Thank you, Andy.
All right. Good to talk to you. Thanks for being with us today. Just that news about the vaccinations. When the report was compiled, there were 17 people in hospital with COVID, 11 of whom were fully vaccinated with a booster. 3 have received no COVID jab at all. All those in hospital were admitted with the infection. Just over half are in hospital because of the illness, while the remaining group were admitted for other reasons and are found to have had COVID when they were tested on admission. David's with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Just an observation on the one-way system in Castletown.
Yeah.
I've just come past there, and there's a couple of coaches in where the old fire station used to be, and I'm coming down onto the one-way system, pointing downhill towards the harbour, and everybody who's got off the coach is walking in the middle of the road because the signage is inadequate. So I've had to stop. There's an elderly couple with a wheelchair. And I just think it's ridiculous that the scaffolding's gone up 5 weeks or 6 weeks before TT, the busiest time of the year.
I mean, this is going on for a year, isn't it? So you wonder what's going to happen during TT.
I don't know why they didn't say to them, after TT, you've got 2 months and then you've got to drop it. And then if you haven't done it in 2 months, there's something wrong. You've got the good weather in the summer. Get enough people on it. I don't see what's going to take a year to do the fascia of a building. Crazy. You could have done the pyramids quicker.
Okay. All right. All right, David. Thanks for calling today.
Andy, just a quick one.
Okay.
The roundabout at Ballasalla, the Gandara was supposed to get on with that and repair the road, and Highway Board was supposed to put up signage. That's another recipe for a disaster. There'll be all the bikes heading down to Castletown. No indication that they're approaching a roundabout, and the road surface is in a terrible mess.
Okay, well...
So let's see what happens during TT. Thanks, Andy.
Good to talk to you. Thanks for being with us. And what about those shoppers, people who work in Castletown? Earlier this month, one of the main routes through Castletown went one way while renovation works take place nearby. So, what do the people in Castletown think of what's happening? We sent Christian Jones to Castletown with a Manx radio microphone.
It's just a bit annoying, isn't it? Because I have to drive all the way down the bypass and then round and then park.
Not really. I've forgotten a couple of times and had to go through the little back roads and things to get back.
Another danger point would be the table tennis thing, because all the young kids are running after the ball.
Yes, Al, I think it's great. I've been on the bus yet, but I've been watching them. But yes, I think it's a good idea.
Yes, big disruption, because I had to go right round the block. I hope it's not going to stay a one-way system.
Mixed opinions from members of the public, but looking to those who run and own businesses in the town centre, the main concern is they simply would like to have been informed and given more notice.
Business is very quiet. I think the one way is going the wrong way, because we need business coming from Balfane and Ballasalla, not business coming from Port Erin. Port Erin already has more shops than us.
I mean, I've seen it affect a couple of businesses, and I've seen a couple, you know, people drop, and you don't get as many as like today as well. It's quite quiet. I mean, you have some busy days and some, you know, quiet days, but it's all down to, you know, the types of people who can get in and out, and it's quite difficult, as you can see, for the buses half the time.
Driving us around the bend.
Just wish somebody had consulted us.
So what do you think about this? Do you think, I mean, this is, obviously we're heading into TT. It's around the houses. It's like the hokey cokey in Castletown at the moment. What do you think about this? Now, I mentioned this gold mine, the gold mine that we have under our feet. The Isle of Man has enough energy stored beneath our feet to make us completely self-sufficient. Now, put Kroger Gas to one side, the gas that they're hoping to take out from underneath the seabed off Mackled. This is a retired geophysicist and a former executive with Shell who lives on the Isle of Man. His name is Graham Fox Hume, and he's asking the Manx government to consider utilising heat stored in rock under much of the Isle of Man. He says utilising geothermal energy would be highly cost-effective compared with other schemes.
Oh, well, basically, of course, you have an unlimited source of heat underneath the island, which you can tap into, and that in turn, of course, can be come up to the surface as steam, and you would use steam that, on that basis to drive turbines.
Is there that much heat available under
yes.
the island?
Oh, yes. Yes, we are sitting on a granite. The island is what's commonly known as an intrusion. It's been uplifted in the past, about 6 to 10 million years ago, roughly. And that was a process of granitization, as it was called. And the island was then uplifted, and of course the remnants of the granite are still underneath us. And they are very hot, red hot, literally. And they are within modern drilling reach and technology. Although you possibly, quite probably, wouldn't need to go that deep. to the granite itself. The temperatures above the granite are high enough to produce steam with water circulated through them.
Why hasn't this been done before on the island?
That's a very good question.
Would it be because of money?
It's not that expensive. It's no more expensive than building offshore wind farms and things like that.
Okay, well, how much would one of these cost?
Oh, you're talking millions in initial expense, of course, to drill a hole and get it started. Probably tens and twenties of millions, I would think. But that is purely a guess on my part, I must say. But the drilling technology is available. There's no question about that.
Would you need one of these or several?
It would depend how much steam. Probably you could do several. The possibility, of course, is to locate the well itself offshore and then have a pipeline from the well head back onto the onshore just to bring the steam in that way. So it wouldn't be intrusive as an onshore facility.
So in terms of cost effectiveness and ease of operation, mm-hmm. how would you rank this alongside nuclear, wind power, tidal power, etc.?
Well, it's a lot simpler than wind power, I must say. Tidal power, yeah, that's certainly interesting. But nuclear and the rest of it, of course, are far more expensive than doing this.
And finally, there's enough energy there.
Yes, it's effectively unlimited.
You wouldn't need any other source of power. It would do everything.
It would do everything. And it's, how can I put it, it doesn't die on you at any point, basically. The heat of availability is pretty much continuous and unlimited.
That's Graham Fox-Hume, a retired geophysicist, worked with Shell for many years, now retired, living on the Isle of Man. Geothermal. So we've been given, by dint of history and our, if you like, the way that the land's constructed underneath us, we've been given a gold mine of heat. What do you think? Should we be making use of this resource beneath our feet? We're talking of drilling. The expertise perhaps is already here. I mean, Kroger want to drill for gas off Mackald. So why not steam too? Is it more eco-friendly? What do you think about this? So we now have options that are looming towards us. If we're going to get away from the life that we have, if we're marching towards the green future, is it nuclear? We've talked about those mini nuclear reactors that Rolls-Royce are building. Tidal power, wind power, is it offshore, is it onshore? Should we say yes to Kroger gas? Or geothermal, drilling for heat? And as Mr. Fox-Hume said, it could be unlimited. I just wonder what you think.
Fly with Loganair from the Isle of Man to London City up to 10 times a week, and from the 3rd of May, London Heathrow up to 7 times a week. With 15 kilograms luggage allowance as standard and frequent flyer rewards.
Fly with me. I want to take you there. Precious moments of this journey. To where homeward bound again.
Book now at loganair.co.uk.
Oh, not again.
Oh, that Jack from next door really needs to improve his left foot.
Oh, don't worry. A storm did the damage last time, and it was easy to get a greenhouse pane from Manx Glass and Glazing.
Manx Glass and Glazing don't just do the big jobs. Visit them on Snowborough Trading Estate for all your glazing repairs and supplies. From glass tabletops and picture frame glass to greenhouse glazing, along with good old-fashioned customer service and product knowledge.
Manx Glass and Glazing. You're smashing.
You're sure to find something fabulous at Ramsey Art Gallery, Jewellers and Engravers.
From stunning gold and silver jewellery that you can make extra special with an engraved message, to local prints and gifts for every occasion, Ramsey Art Gallery also stock a fantastic range of watches, including Ted Baker, Citizen, Storm and Accurist.
Plus Seconda, Timex, Sexy and Bulova.
All with lifelong free strap adjustment. You'll love what you find in store when you visit Ramsey Art Gallery, Jewellers and Engravers, opposite the RNLI shop in Ramsey.
When it comes to your home, it's time to say out with the ordinary, bye-bye boring. So at Lifestyle Furniture, we're all about new style. Pop into our showroom to explore our brand new stylish and eclectic collections, from beautiful beds and sumptuous sofas to dazzling dining and living furniture and more. With free delivery and 0% finance subject to status. Lifestyle Furniture. It's new style. It's wow style. It's lifestyle. Find us at Snugborough Trading Estate, Union Mills.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
19 minutes before one. Fast am I. Good afternoon. Elizabeth's with us now. Hello, Elizabeth.
Good afternoon. I've been hanging on a while, and you have approached the subject that I was going to ring up about, that I was ringing up about. It's wave power. Some weeks ago, some man offered to do it all, and it wasn't going to cost the Manx government anything to do wave power. And the Manx government refused it. Why?
Do you think wave power... I mean, there are conflicting views on wave power. The people who are for it obviously want to do it, and the people who are against it say we don't have deep enough... where they want to put it, it's not going to be deep enough, i.e. where the current is, it's not deep enough to do it.
I would think it would, actually. I have a nephew that installs that type of stuff. He's away all over the world doing it, wave power, so he is. Where they put something underneath the water.
Yeah, yeah. And how long's your nephew been doing it?
Oh, years. He's been doing it for years. He's away in Germany, Holland, Poland, everywhere. So he is. He's away. He works for the firm that do it. You know, he comes from Ireland, but I mean, he's away working all everywhere. But I totally disagree with having to drill. Leave the earth alone. Look what's happening to all these volcano eruptions because they're drilling and taking all the oil out of the earth and the gas out of the earth and... Oh, this is what's causing all these weather conditions. I mean, the earth is fighting back by volcanoes here and, you know, the earth cracking and everything. It's really, you can't blame it for fighting back because man is destroying everything. And not content with that, he's gone up now to destroy the moon and the planets up there as well.
Where do you stand on wind power, Elizabeth?
I would love to see wind powers. I think they're lovely, absolutely lovely. And we have plenty of wind on this island.
You say that again. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Everywhere. Very windy. A few of them around. They could put them everywhere. Up around Snaith Fell, down the south, up the north, down the south. Everywhere. They'd have free electricity, whatever it is.
Elizabeth, would you have one in your back garden?
I bloody would. You can put one on my back garden tomorrow. I won't object.
Thanks for calling. All right. Good to talk to you. Eddie's with us now. Hello, Eddie.
Hello there, yeah. Yeah, one in your garden as well, eh?
Go on then, yes, thank you.
Yeah, listening to the geothermal guy, yeah, there's so many ways of doing this, yeah, and it's a fantastic idea. But just to put things into perspective, right, there was a program on a couple of weeks ago, Simon Reeves, is it? And he does the Indian Ocean. All the way around the Indian Ocean, and he was showing the bits and pieces of pollution and how certain countries all on borders of that ocean were doing this, doing that, and eventually the very last piece of his trip was the northeast tip of Australia. I forget the region, but the plans are for that region to totally build the biggest plant in the world for extracting three or four different types of ore and gas and so on from that part of the thing. It's his words were, it's a pristine area of the world, but the big companies are going to develop it regardless of anything. Australia is booming at the moment. And it's booming because it is selling all the things that we're talking about, which are bad, to the Far East, China, India, everywhere around there. They are going to, the whole point of this is they're going to get so far ahead of us while we're going backwards. So when this guy talks about geothermal, he is right. We've got to actually move in the right direction. Wind turbines, sorry, Elizabeth. Absolute no chance, because they're a waste of money. They extract money from the taxpayers to even put the damn things up. They're unsightly. They don't have a very long lifespan. But he hits the nail on the head. We have got things around us which are permanent. They never stop. The sea and geothermal. So, yeah, that guy is absolutely bang on. And the pollution, I've pointed this out so many times, but I don't know why the authorities don't listen. Our air and our water come from all over the planet. They don't come from just round here. So when you talk about clean bathing and everything, there's no such thing as clean bathing. It depends on what bit of water you're getting from the Gulf Stream. Same with the air. The air just flows all the way around the planet. And we're going to get left behind if we start throwing money away, like £82 million at a time, for something that is not going to make a ha'porth of a difference. Put it where it's properly needed, and the rest will just look after itself. But we need to go in the right direction, and we need to be listening to people like him that was on.
Okay, we appreciate it. Thanks, Eddie. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, mate.
Lots of people are also mentioning the stuff that's mined in, I think it's Northern Territories. It's Queensland, Northern Territories. I think it's the Northern Territories. I mean, Australia is so full of natural resources. They mine everything there. Uranium, gold, obviously. They got petrol. They've got oil in Australia. Manganese and geothermal is big news there in Australia. So how do we move forward? And if we are, by the fact of our strata, our rock strata underneath us, if we've got geothermal, do you think this is something we should be looking at? Maybe this £42 million for our green future is something that could look at that, do you think?
You'll love the choice at Pizza Napoli Douglas. Whether you're after a fresh slice at lunchtime, an afternoon meal with work, an evening of family time with the kids, or just a lazy takeaway in front of the telly. With a range of fresh wood-fired pizza, homemade ciabatta and risotto, and more. Pizza Napoli, our Douglas restaurant, is fully licensed and open from midday right through until 9, Sundays to Thursdays, and 10, Fridays and Saturdays. Book and order at pizzanapoli.im.
If the costs you're being quoted to sell your house are driving you crazy, it's time to see red. CG Red is the revolutionary fee-busting service that lets you sell any properties up to £350,000 for a fixed fee of just £750. That's the lowest commission on the island. And with all the backing of Cowley Groves, the island's leading independent estate agent. Visit cgred.im now for details. Buy, sell and save when you see red!
Rex Motor Company, or should I now say, the award-winning Rex Motor Company, are here for leasing, sales and servicing of some of the best cars money can buy. We're the first motor dealer to win an Isle of Man award for excellence thanks to our excellent customer service, and you can expect that every time you come and see us. Our friendly showroom team are on Whitehoe Industrial Estate, so come and have a browse of our top-of-the-range vehicles. Or visit rexmotorcompany.im and have a browse at home. That's rexmotorcompany.im.
Is your business getting back on track? Or are you in survival mode? Is it time to diversify and make changes? Conister Bank is part of Isle of Man Government's Disruption Loan Guarantee Agreement, supporting businesses affected by the pandemic with borrowing from £5,000 to £500,000 over 1 to 6 years, and the first year, interest only. Call Conister now on 694 694 or apply via our website. Subject to status, terms, conditions and early settlement fees apply.
Alexa! Tell me how to win a Sonos One speaker.
She can't help, but Manx Radio can. We've got together with Manx Telecom for another great spring winning weekend. We'll be playing sounds from different gadgets this weekend, both on air and on Manx Radio's Facebook page. If you know what they are, text your name and your answer to 166177. Then be listening to Monday's breakfast show to see if you're a winner. And for great deals, free gifts and top-of-the-range gadgets and handsets, visit mt.im.
Alexa, play the nation's station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And David's with us. Hi, David.
Hello there. How you doing?
Good, yes. What's on your mind?
Castletown. I used to be a bus driver, and Castle Street was shut one winter while they'd done the sewer, and we were going in, round the smelt, and back out again. And we'd done that for about 4 months. And nobody said anything. It just happened. And that was it. And we were going down at one stage, going down the lane between the George and the Co-op.
Between
the George and the Co-op, and going round the block. And nobody said anything. That road was shut. And it was a good 4 months, I think.
When was this, David?
Well, I packed in 2007, so it was before. I reckon it would be either the end of the 90s or early 2000s.
My, and you never took a wing mirror off going between the Co-op and the George?
No, nothing was done. Everybody went through. Never ran anybody over coming out of the Co-op either.
Have you seen what's happening now? Have you been around Castletown now and looked at it?
I have, yeah. You just got these things happen. You just got to settle in and do it till it's finished.
All right, okay. Thanks for calling today.
Right. Okay,
appreciate that. 9 minutes before one on Mags Radio. Lots of mess. Oh, thanks for Pauline, who sent me in some lovely photos of when Douglas had all those gorgeous gardens and flower beds. And she also sent me a contrasting photo of the wilding. Some more messages in. What's the difference between a COVID-19 death and any other death? It's endemic now. We just have to get on with it. I think we should stop scaremongering. Dave's words on 706. I'd like to make a point that Tynwald Hill, one of our national symbols, has had fencing and shuttering on it for weeks. It looks like an eyesore for coaches and tourists who are coming here, more often than not, want to take a picture on the hill. Could the works not have been done months ago before the start of the tourist season? Well, we've got 47 boats, 46 now after yesterday's, 45 after today's coming. So our national, heaven forbid they take them to Laxey Wheel or try and find the horse trams. Traffic wardens, apparently, says Dave, are checking for out-of-date tax. Not for car parking, so they're looking for out-of-date. So if your tax is out-of-date, don't think you can get away with it. The grass on the promenade, perhaps it's for crazy golf. No, it's for wilding. Maybe they'll become a tourist attraction. Talking to a cruise ship tourist at the Grand Sun yesterday who had to pay to use the men's toilets, he said it was disgusting. And it was filthy inside, says Pat. So perhaps the people in charge of the loos up at the grandstand, for which you now have to pay, could pop up there with a mop and brush, perhaps. Don't hold your breath, says Carol, waiting for somebody from Douglas Council to contact you. Regarding the sunken gardens, I emailed Mrs. Wells on the 9th of April. No response. I emailed her again yesterday. Still a way to reply. I was raised to understand it's common courtesy to at least acknowledge any form of communication, says Carol. Can't get an answer about the 40 miles an hour everywhere from the police, says Jerry. This 40 mile, is that because of the work that's been done on the TT course, or do you think it's there forever? My prom and the DOI advise me that at this stage of the horse tram lines, now only go as far as the bottom of Broadway, not the War Memorial. Thank you, Sarah, for that. Yes, they do. The bottom of Broadway. Presumably, they're going to arrive. I mean, holidays, specialist tours have been sold on the basis that the horse trams are there. We've seen them advertised in the newspapers, you know, a trip on the trams, the horse trams, the one and only, unique, oldest horse trams in the world, which aren't there. Hopefully there'll be a statement as to whether or not the horse trams will make an appearance this year. The sunken garden walls, says Carl on 542. When I run a local stone masonry company, I emailed Douglas Borough Council when the walls first washed and fell down. Didn't even get a reply, didn't even get the email acknowledged. Same with the wall on Quarterbridge Road. What if the wall, where the wall has fallen down? Yes, that wall that's got big bags by it at the bottom of Quarterbridge Road. Still no news. 5 weeks to go and that wall is still, I think it's a private wall. Steve's with us now. Hi, Steve.
How are you doing? Very quickly, I know you run out of time. I just think it's a joke. TT's round the corner, Laxey Wheel. It looks like it's falling to pieces. The promenade's a disgrace. Bringing people over here, you know, just getting people in for the TT. What are they going to think? You know, you get off that ferry and see the state of this island. It's an absolute joke. It really is. Honestly, you cannot even comprehend the state of the island and people are coming over to this. It's unbelievable.
What's the top of your mind? What do you think is the first thing that sticks out that isn't right?
Yeah, it's a combination of everything. Roads, network, you know, the state of the roads. What is there to do? The Laxey Wheel, you know. Other tourist areas on the island, you drive around with your family in the car, visiting these places and think, it's just let go, there's nothing here. They knock everything down. We had Summerland, that's gone. Crescent, that's gone. White City, that's gone. You know, the Aquadrome, which is part of the Summerland, gone. And they build nothing to replace it on the island. There's nothing here. It's a dead hole. It really is. People say, oh, there's a boat in the morning. Well, joking aside, if people can afford to use it, I'm sure they would.
All right, well, maybe it'll all get sorted out in 5 weeks, Steve.
Good luck with that one.
All right, thanks for calling. Thank you. Andy dropped a note in regarding the horse tram points. I don't think they're coming. I don't think that they've realised the trams don't have moving bogies, so won't go around the curve to move the line from one side. Is that the truth? Because they're fixed bogies, well, they'll do a certain amount of turns. Obviously, they did in the past. They go around certain. Anyway, if anybody knows, get in touch. Condolences, says Michael, to anybody who's lost relatives recently. I'd be very interested in hearing about whether there's an overall increase in the mortality rate. All the figures are for COVID-related deaths, i.e. they've had it within a month of dying. So we don't even know whether or not it was coronavirus was a factor at all. Lots of messages in today. Lots of people who seem to know a lot about geothermal energy. I was under the impression, says John, when something insured breaks, you make an insurance claim and pay for it to be fixed, then the insurance company reimburses you. So why is Douglas Council waiting for the nod from the insurance company to mend the sunken gardens? I wish they'd tell us. Are they going to replace the stone from the garden walls with concrete, says Robbie? Well, you know, thanks to Barry Redfern today. And we're back with another open line on Man in Line tomorrow. WINT.